Thank you, Father God, that our hearts are open, our ears are open and receptive to receive the word of God. Not the word of a man, but the word of God as it is in truth. And we thank you for it and we praise you for it. We give you glory for it. Holy Spirit, we invite you to anoint our eyes to see and our ears to hear supernatural revelation from heaven. Transformational truths that will change our lives for the better forever. In Jesus' name. And we give you all the glory, all of the honor, and all the praise for the anointing and the power of God that will destroy every yoke and the word of God that will be confirmed with signs and wonders following. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. 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 You may be seated. What is faith and action? We're going to take a little bit of meticulous time to define and describe the action part of our faith. Faith is just not docile and dormant. Faith should be and is accompanied by action. Corresponding actions of obedience. So many people say, I have faith, but they're not doing anything. Or their faith is not working on anything. So we are going to spend a little bit talking about some of the mechanics of faith and action from James chapter 2's account. James, the Lord's brother, conveys to us. Because we need to all examine, is our faith working or not? So James chapter 2, verse 14, starting at verse 14, we're going to read down through verse number 26. I'm reading out a New King James Bible. You can follow along in your Bible. James chapter 2, verse 14 through 26. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, but do not give them the things which are needed for the body, does it profit? Now notice how he's underscoring this emphasis of profitability. Your faith should be profiting. If it's working, it should be producing a profit. You should be able to see the results of your works. Your actions of faith. All right? I want to say that up front. Okay? So, the verse 17. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? So make a note of that or highlight that verse as well, that verse we just read, because we could be foolish or we could be in faith. Foolishness and presumption is a false faith. It's a false assumption that I'm in faith because I'm not doing anything. Verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Isn't that beautiful? So let's unpack this a little bit today. First of all, we want to remind you that faith is an act. Faith is an act. Faith is our belief in action. Faith is our belief in action. Faith is an expression of our confidence in God and His Word. Faith is an act motivated by the Word of God. Faith is an act motivated by the Word of God. We've said before, and we've described and defined faith as a spiritual force, God's creative power, the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That's Hebrews 11, as we defined it and described it previously. Faith is a spiritual force. Faith is God's creative power. What does it mean? That means faith is not a natural substance. It's a spiritual substance. It's a spiritual force. So it has to come through and out of your spirit. It's a spiritual function. It's not a mental thing. It's not an emotional thing. It's not a natural thing. Faith is supernatural. Faith is God's creative power. In other words, He gives you a measure of the God kind of faith that created the worlds. He gave you a faith that creates things, that causes things, and that controls things and changes things. Faith, God gave you a faith that creates, causes, controls, and changes things. Are you listening to me? It's God's creative power. So God uses His faith to create, to cause, to control, and to change things that need to be changed. You and I are to use that same faith that He gave us to create, to cause, to control, and to change things. The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things. Faith works the same in any arena, any sphere, or any realm. So you can look at finances, works the same. Healing works the same. Family works the same. On your job, works the same. Friends, our faith can either be growing or staying stagnant and lying dormant. So this is where you examine yourself. Is my faith growing or is it staying stagnant and lying dormant? Faith grows, we said, by feeding it and exercising it. So if we carefully examine your faith life and the faith in your heart, how well did you feed it last week? How well did you feed your faith? Because some people say, well, I can just get through 100 or 10 devotions in 1 week. That's not necessarily mean that your faith is being fed. Amen. Because you're not doing it with your faith in mind. You got to do things with your faith in mind. You got to make sure your faith is well fed. Well, how much measure do I have? Well, how much feeding have you done? How much faith food have you put in your spirit? So you don't just feed your faith, but you also exercise it for it to grow. You got to feed it and exercise. In other words, you got to release your faith. In other words, put your faith to work. That's why we're answering the question as our subject today, what is faith in action? Because if your faith is just by itself, James said by the Holy Spirit, it's not profiting. It's dead. That means it's not working. It's not doing anything. Faith is doing something. Real faith is doing something. So we learned and discovered last week when our faith can grow exceedingly through spiritual training and exercise. We called it total immersion. Everybody say total immersion. We took the account from Proverbs 4 that my son attended my words, incline thy ear to my saying, keep them in the midst of thy eyes, keep them before thy eyes, and keep them in the midst of their hearts. For they are life unto those that find them, and medicine or health and healing to all their flesh. In other words, you submerge or immerse yourself in the Word of God. You know, you spend most of your day feeding and thinking and meditating on the Word of God. What does that do? It grows your faith capacity, and it breaks off the chokeholds and pulls down the barriers and blockages to your faith development. It fills in the gaps of your faith. That's what we shared last week. You can go back and listen to it, either online or you can listen to the audio. It'll do you some good, because sometimes we need to put our faith in a clinic. And so this week we're going to check into the clinic, just like a, you know, someone who's addicted to a certain substance, drugs or alcohol, would click. There's plenty of clinics around that can check in and get treatment. Sometimes our faith needs the immersion treatment, because there has been chokeholds or there has been barriers and blockages to keep us from growing and being perfected in our faith. But that's a price to pay. You got to put yourself in total immersion. We said last week, to accomplish powerful, productive things, to break off the chokeholds on your capacity to believe and trust God and to receive from God, or to conquer the limitations that is a negative stronghold of thinking about the things of God. As we said and quoted Gloria Copeland, she said it this way: don't meditate on the need. Meditate on the word for the things you need to receive. Too often when people are sick or they're broke financially or struggling financially, they're always meditating on the need for money or the need to get pain, something to reduce the pain or to take care of the physical problem. And their mind has stayed on the problem and never on the promise. But you need to conquer that limitation. So your faith, your focus is not problem-minded, pain-minded, poverty-minded. Your focus is what? Promise-minded, prosperity-minded, healing-minded. Is this good?
Yes.
So our Christianity is worthless without faith. As a principal instrument for doing exploits in the kingdom of God. Your Christianity is worthless without faith. What did James say? What does it profit? He said, if you're not producing anything, that your faith right at that moment in time is worthless, when it's supposed to be priceless and precious. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
So think of it practically and tactically this way. Ask yourself these questions whenever we gather or come to church. How much faith am I bringing to the church? Am I adding my faith, or am I just adding my flesh and my fears? Am I preparing and planning to release and use my faith in God for the church and for the people of God today? And resist the plans of the enemy to dissuade me, deceive me, discourage me, detract me from acting upon the word with my faith. Because, you know, you have two responses to truth. You're either going to receive it and act and believe it and act on it, or you're going to resist it and rebel. So we must have a clear understanding that faith is an ever-winning and never-failing force and a supreme spiritual law we must operate in and live by. Going by Jesus' words, faith is the answer to all impossibilities. Because what did he say? All things are what? Possible to him or her that believes. No impossibility can survive where faith is at work. No impossibility can survive where faith is at work.
Amen.
So the question now comes back to us, square between our eyes, ladies and gentlemen. Where is your faith? James is telling us, invariably, in these verses we just read, James 2:14 through 26, where is your faith? Now look at, we'll highlight verse 17. And also faith by itself, if it does not have works, or course in actions, is dead. So James, by the Holy Spirit, in the first part of the text is telling us, I believe that verbal faith faith that consists of words without corresponding actions of obedience is insufficient. Because you have really, as we've described in the past, channels which faith functions through and flows through. The heart channel, that's where you believe. The mouth channel, that's where you confess and receive. And then there's the action channel. Because faith is a what? Act. Faith is an act. And then there's the public identification channel. When you text or talk to somebody on the phone and post somewhere on a platform, social media, media platform, email, you're publicly identifying with either Christ or the crisis. You're going to identify with either Christ and his word or the crisis of that you're experiencing in the world. Unfortunately, too many people identify with the crisis. This is broke down. This bad thing has happened. They'll give you the facts, but really their faith is not alive. It's dead because it's in the crisis, in the conflict, in the chaos. Are you listening to me? I'll say it again. Verbal faith that comes from words without corresponding actions of obedience is insufficient. Why? Why do I say that? Because it cannot and will not save, it will not serve, or will not survive. It won't survive the test of time. Time tries our trust, ladies and gentlemen, because it's through faith, the Bible says in Hebrews verse chapter 6, through faith and patience we inherit the promise. Through faith and patience. So sometimes we're believing to receive, but there's a time to wait for the manifestation of what you're believing and trusting God for. And some people become impatient and they step out of faith back into facts and feelings and figures. Or they step from faith into fear. Even though they said in church, in a great environment, Holy Spirit is moving. And they said it genuinely. I'm believing for this. But then when the circumstances of life and the devil comes and puts his little bully glove up aside your face, they say something else. Because their verbal faith was insufficient. It won't save you, it won't serve you, and it won't survive in your life. Amen. So when James, by the Holy Spirit, says, ask, can faith save him? He's expecting a negative answer, saying, of course not. You know how some people say, this is what people say as a phraseology or kind of a Christian contemporary phrase, I'm just trusting the Lord. What are they saying? My faith is going to save me by itself. I'm just trusting the Lord. I'm just giving it to the Lord. Well, whatever the Lord's going to do, he's going to do. That's dead faith. Well, praise the Lord. Come on, y'all got to give me some help today. Y'all believing with me?
Yes, amen.
Listen to this statement right here. Listen to it very clean. A faith that does not demonstrate itself in works, corresponding actions of obedience, is not genuine or real faith. You can talk the talk, but if you're not walking the walk and working the work, you're not in real, genuine faith. Remember, faith is an act. It's active, and faith works. It doesn't say faith worries. Faith works. These verses also teach us that faith unaccompanied by works was never alive. It was dead. It was dormant, docile. Not doing anything. So I like to say it like this. A workless faith, friends, is a worthless faith. A workless faith is a worthless faith. Sometimes we have to come, we have to pause, assess, and ask ourselves, is my faith working? Now I'm going to give you some mechanics here, some measurable mechanics. If you go 3 days without an answer, there's a problem. I remember Kenneth Hagin was telling us through one of the messages, he's praying for a lady who had cancer. I mean, incurable. They said it was spreading real fast in her body. And they were fasting and praying day and night, taking turns as a couple of pastor couples and Kenneth Hagin and Miss Aretha. And this woman was in her 30s. And that cancer had spread all over her and was getting ready to take her out. And she was writhing in pain on that bed. And they were trying to get the pain to subside and praying and beg, you know, some way, somehow, Lord, heal her. And after 3 days of doing that, he had said, hey, wait a minute, time out. Now, it's a profound statement he made. He said, I never went 3 days without an answer. We're missing it. We got to stop begging God and stop pleading with God and stop praying like we've been praying. We're missing that. Our faith is not working. And he said this, I've never gone 3 days without an answer. Well, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. So that's Hebrews 13:8. So he's the same with us. He's the same Lord over our lives. We should never go 3 days without an answer from God. He said, we're missing it. And so what did they do? What happens when you miss it? One of the great ways is to build yourself up on your most holy faith. Jude 20, hit it in tongues, pray in the Holy Ghost. Until you break through to a revelation and a real word from God, a rhema word from God, or you get enlightenment through the word of God. If you're missing it, go back and find out why you are not connecting. Your faith is not connected. When they spent 15 minutes praying in the Spirit, and they got a word from God that it was an evil spirit, a demon, and they got turned around, dealt with the spirit, called that devil out. It flew out right away at their faith command. In the name of Jesus, that thing flew off of her. Within another 10 minutes, she was up running around the house and eating food. She couldn't even eat food. She couldn't even ingest and put food in her. She was emaciating and withering away and writhing in pain. So she went from that extreme worst condition to rising up within a half an hour. Within a half an hour, she was lifting her hand to God, running around the house and eating food without a problem. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Faith, we said, will work for anybody. It will work on anything. That's Mark 11:23. Whosoever, that you and I qualify as a whosoever, shall have whatsoever he saith. Amen. So a workless faith is a worthless faith. So you got to ask yourself, am I putting my faith to work even before I go to work? So if we took an inventory or a survey or a poll of some sort, and we run out to every person online and every person in front of me that I see here, and we ask, what's your faith working on? Everybody should have an affirmative answer. My faith is working on this. This is what I'm believing God, trusting God for. If your faith is not working, your faith is dead and dormant and not doing anything. And that's how we're supposed to live. We're not supposed to live with our faith on vacation. You can go on vacation, but don't put your faith on vacation. So you ask yourself, what is my faith? What is my faith doing? All right, so there's three types of locations of faith, as James told us here. First is, number one is dead faith. Everybody say dead faith. People with dead faith substitute words for deeds and actions of obedience. All they do is talk and say amen and praise the Lord in church, hallelujah. And then at home, they're not saying anything or they're saying the wrong things. They lose their mouth control. they undo and nullify their faith because their words. They pray like a hallelujah heavenly choir in church, but they pray up hell at home. Well, praise the Lord. Y'all mess with me this morning. Amen. Praise God. But are you substituting words for deeds and actions of obedience? Because, see, there's no such thing as unchallenged faith, and faith makes you uncomfortable. In other words, you got to be disciplined in your speech and in your deeds and your obedience. Discipline, one of the words for discipline is enforced obedience. So they think that their words are as good as works. Their words are as good as works, and they are wrong. Their walk does not measure up to their talk. See, the Greek word translated dead here in James 2:20 carries the meaning of a barren, something barren or idle, like money drawing no interest. It's not doing anything, just sitting there. Amen. That's why Jesus preached repentance, not doing penance. The first two fundamentals of the doctrines of Christ were this, Hebrews 6:1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation. What's the foundation? Starts with repentance from dead works and faith toward God. What is a dead work? No faith in it. Maybe your feelings are in it. Maybe your frustrations are in it. Maybe your fear is in it, but it's no faith in it. James also gives us a glimpse of how people can defend their faith, but yet they do not demonstrate their faith. And people are like that today. They'd rather post something online than produce something in their life. I think I need to say that again. Many people would rather post something online than produce something in their life and with their faith. Nothing wrong with posting online, but they're trying to defend their faith but not demonstrate their faith sometimes in loving works and deeds and actions of obedience via his word. Second place your faith could be, you're talking about where is my faith, it could be demon faith. Everybody say demon faith. So dead faith. Then you have demon faith. Demon faith, it comes as a shock to people that demons have faith. Because what do they believe? For one thing only, they believe that there is the existence of God. Because James said it by the Spirit of God. The demons also believe and tremble. But they are neither atheists nor agnostic. Demons are. They're not atheists. They're not agnostic. They also believe in the deity of Christ. So the man and woman with dead faith has that it's only touched their intellect, their mind. But we said faith works from the heart. Jesus said in Mark 11:23, and shall not doubt where? In his heart. You got to make sure if you're operating faith, what's your heart condition? And there's a heart-mouth connection. Matthew 12, Romans 10, and 10. For with the heart man believes unto right, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen? But dead faith, it's only touched their intellect. They agree, they acknowledge, they even say amen. Nothing wrong with saying amen. I like amens. I like people that's alive. I don't want dead church. Amen. Glory to God. Give us an amen online, praise God. But demons are touched also in their emotions, and they believe and tremble. In other words, friends, a person can be enlightened in their mind and even stirred in their heart and their emotions and still be lost forever. I remember the story about a guy who was in the church, and they were giving the altar call, and he's trembling. He's shaking a chair. He was so touched by the power, but he never surrendered to Jesus as his Lord and Savior. He never received Jesus as Lord and Savior. So that guy was never made a step toward the Lord to receive him. Even though he's in church, he's feeling the power. Some people can be in church feeling the power, falling under the power, but their faith gets up and all it is dead and demonic. What is it? Intellectual faith, emotional faith. Intellectual faith is based on my logic. Emotional faith is based on my feelings. So demon faith really stirs up your flesh and your feelings. So James, by the Holy Spirit, has introduced two kinds of faith that does not save, serve, or survive. Dead faith, intellectual alone, demonic faith, intellectual, and the emotions. So you got to make sure your hallelujahs in church turn into heavy lifting and faith working out of church. So what is your faith doing? What is your faith acting on, working on? Then the third category is dynamic faith. Everybody say dynamic faith. Dynamic faith is when that's real. Faith that's real, faith that has power, faith that results in changed life. And we said dynamic faith both changes you and it changes things. But the first thing, it changes you. Because when you're in faith, you're changed to do what faith and truth requires you to do. Truth requires you to obey the truth, to speak the truth into the facts, to live your life constrained by the truth. See, when faith hasn't changed you, ladies and gentlemen, and made you uncomfortable, what do? You're constrained by the facts and not the truth. But faith speaks the truth into the facts. It stays and stands on the truth in spite of the facts. Are you listening to me? I'm giving you some mechanics today. I'm teaching you some real good stuff. So you can't gravitate to your feelings or your flesh or what you see and feel at the moment. But everybody wants to say what they use a colloquial expression or contemporary phrase, let's keep it real. Let me keep it raw. Let me tell you how I'm feeling. Even the social media platforms say, how you feeling today? Well, you don't need to be responding all the time to your feelings. You're supposed to be a faith first responder. A faith first responder. So dynamic faith changes you and it changes things. When Abraham was told to get out of your father's house and away from your country and go to a place where I'm going to show you, he didn't know where he was going, so his feelings were probably all over the board. His fears were probably high at that time, thinking thoughts of where am I going? What am I doing? But he had a visitation by the glory of God. It says in Acts, the glory of God appeared to him. Said, get out of here. I'm gonna show you some. But he did what? It changed him. He packed up his things. He took a few family with him, but they ended up pairing off from him, his father and his nephew Lot. But he began to obey. He began to step out. Some people don't have the faith that step out into new realm. I can't align with my feelings or the facts anymore. I've got to stay with the word of truth and stand on it with my faith. It changes things. See, it changes first your thinking, your believing, and your behavior. The first sign that faith is changing you is discomfort. And some people get so comfortable they can sleep in church. Or they can miss church because their faith is not on the line. Their flesh is always on the line. Amen. Their feelings are all on. I don't feel like going tonight. I don't feel like doing it. But faith will press you beyond your comfort zone. Faith will push you beyond your comfort zone. Because if you're comfortable, you're probably not in faith. God wants to stretch all of us. Why? Because if you can't grow without getting stretched, there has to be that healthy tension between where you are and where your faith and your focus needs to be. Everybody say stretch. So saving, dynamic saving faith is based on the word. It believes and speaks and acts in accordance with the word of God. It aligns, agrees, and adjusts its attitude and behavior to the revealed truth of God's word. Dynamic faith is based on God's word, and it involves the whole person. We're not saved by faith in faith. Listen to what I'm saying. You're not saved by faith in faith. You are saved by faith in Christ as revealed in his word. Amen. Men and women of faith named in Hebrews 11, we studied it a couple weeks ago, were people of action. Abel brought his offering. He worshiped God by faith. Enoch walked with God by faith. 300 years he walked with God. He was faithful to God for 300 years and pleased God for 300 years. Nobody's living that long today, but that's a long record. That's a track record I don't think can be beat. 300 years of walking with God by faith. Faith teaches us how to worship God. Faith teaches us how to walk with God. Noah witnessed and worked for God for 120 years building an ark. But he didn't go by his feelings because he would have quit year one when everybody was ostracizing him and criticizing him. Faith works. They were people of action. God spoke and they obeyed. He told Noah, build an ark. He got to building. He made it a family business to build the ark. He preached righteousness and said one promise, it's going to rain. And everybody laughed and mocked at him for 120 years until the rain started falling and the water from the ground started coming up and everybody got scared and wanted to come in. Again, faith is not believing in the spirit of is not believing in the spirit of evidence. Faith is obeying in spite of the consequences. Faith is obeying in spite of the consequences. Authentic, real faith leads to action. Dynamic faith is not intellectual compilation or emotional consternation. It leads to obedience on the part of the will, and this obedience is not isolated event. It continues throughout the whole life. It leads to works of love and works of obedience. Faith works by love. A lot of people are more selfishly inclined. Some people are selfishly inclined, and they just want to get theirs and theirs. Mine, me, myself, and I, mine. Now, let me give you some mechanics and some highly suggested actions as I close. Because the question is my faith working? James 2:26 again. For the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. What's a good work of faith? Your actions of obedience that correspond with the word of God or a word from God. So what are your actions? 1 Samuel 2:3. Talk no more very proudly, let no arrogance come from your mouth. Isn't that a word for today? For the Lord God is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. By him actions are weighed. Faith is acting on God's word, that provokes him to action. See, the first move is ours. It's your move. What is your faith going to do? Now, here's some three highlights. These are not in your notes. You can just write them down. But the first one is we each have a free choice. Everybody say, I have a free choice and a free moral agency. So you have the freedom to choose. Yeah, the freedom to choose. Listen, Deuteronomy, write this reference down. Write Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you. I have set before you what? Life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, and both you and your descendants may live. choose. He's telling us what to choose, but he's given us the freedom to choose. So I'm going to give you a healing example. We're going to pray for some healing today. Those that may be challenged in their physical body or believe in God. Got an upcoming. You know, so here's an example I'm using. So we each have a free choice. Faith, listen to me, faith begins with a firm, decided choice and a quality decision to believe. Faith begins with a firm, decided choice and a quality decision to believe. Where's a quality decision start, ladies and gentlemen? It starts in our heart and not in our head, because our logic and emotions may sway us in our decision. Because if we just make our choices with our head and our logic and emotions, then we're going to side with what we feel and what we see. And we're going to be what we call doubting, because we'll swing from being in faith to being in facts. This is what I see. This is what I feel. You know, I can't deny. You're not denying the facts, because faith is not denial of the facts. But the facts can change, because the truth is eternal. God's word says, by his stripes you were healed. So you have a choice. So using this illustration again from Kenneth E. Hagin, he had his niece with him living at the time. She was 18 or 19 years old. I can't remember how old she was, but right in there, 18 or 19. And his niece, Ruth, had developed an attack on her appendicitis. They were at a church service. Ruth and their kids had went to another youth service at another church, youth thing, event. And, of course, they called over there and said, you got to come quickly. Ruth is bawled over and she's writhing in pain. They went over there and she's all bent over and writhing in pain. So they asked her. And so I've learned this as a pastor. You ask people, what do you want to do? Because it's not my faith that has to be on the line unless you're a new Christian. I'm saying new Christian, a young believer, meaning in the Lord, 3 years, typically 3 years, 3.5 years or less. After 4 years of being in Christ, you can't get carried anymore. You know, my grandson is almost 4 years old. Well, he still likes to be picked up, carried. Y'all saw that back there. Well, he's going to have to get to the point where he can't carry him anymore. He got to use his own legs. What about us? We have to use our own faith legs. Amen. You're going to have to believe yourself for a new car. You're going to believe for yourself for a new whatever you got going on in your body. You got to believe yourself for prosperity on another level. You got to use your faith. Your faith has to act now. Now, I'm a good agreeer. I can align and hook up with people, add my faith to their faith. I've gotten pretty good about that. There's power in agreement. But I can't be the lead dog or the lead person, so to speak, to believe and receive for you. Are you listening to me? So the same way with Ruth. She was 19 years old, 18, 19 years old. She has a choice. What was the thing I said? Each of us have a free choice. They said, what do you want to do? You want us to take you to the hospital or the emergency room, or they said, you want to believe, trust God? She said, no, don't take me to the hospital. I want to believe God for my healing. She made a decision. Now, Miss Aretha asked her again, Ruth, I know your Uncle Ken preaches divine healing, but don't sometimes people make a decision on the sake of the minister and not based on the measure of faith in their heart? So they said, I want to believe for it. I think you would be happy with me believing. No, you got to make a decision. Where's my faith at? Do I choose to believe, or am I going to go the natural route, go to the hospital? Amen. Amen. And then, Second one, the second step, these are highly suggested actions. You got to make a choice to believe. Now, if you're gonna believe for finance, you're going to believe for a car, you got to believe. And when I had faith for a car, Big Red out there, Big Baron, we call it Big Red Baron, 2007, brand new. I got it by faith. Woke up one day, my wife was believing for it mainly, but I was believing with her, standing with her. Didn't have the money. Really didn't have the great credit. But Tommy, you know, faith overrides all that stuff. And one day, God said, you got faith in your heart, go down and get your car. I just got up, got dressed, went to the car. Same thing with the house. Didn't have the money, didn't have the down payment. Had to tell the guy, okay, I'll bring you the down payment, the rest of the down payment. I only give him $500. The rest of the down payment, at this day, he said, good deal. But I already had faith in him. He said, go get the house. I was laying there feeding my faith, working my faith, and he said, get the house. Are you listening to me? And so you got it with that car, it's 13 years old. It still runs and still takes people back and forth. Amen. Praise the Lord. See, that's how you want to get and do everything. But it works the same in every area. So let's go back to the story about Ruth. So Miss Ruth said, no, I know Uncle Ken believes in divine healing, but I want to believe God to heal me. So you can go to divine healing or you better get to the doctor. Are you listening to me? And then while you're at the doctor, you need to get your faith up so you can have a speedy recovery and a supernatural restoration of health. Amen? You're taking medicine, so you can't just eliminate faith altogether. But you got to know where your faith is at, because that's a choice you need to make. Sometimes it's between life and death. Now, here's the second step, very important step, kind of ties into what I'm missing. Action must spring from faith in your heart. Action must spring from faith in your heart. Remember Romans 10:10. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, where's your believing? You got to check in your heart, brother, what your heart believes. What kind of, how much faith do you have in your heart? See, faith will work in your heart even with thoughts of doubt in your head. When I was getting up out of that bed to get the house, I said, the devil said, you can't afford it. You ain't got no money. You're going to look like a fool. They're going to run you out of church because you can't afford to get a house and you failed. There's no such thing as unchallenged faith. Every time you're moving in faith, the devil's going to sit there and challenge you. Are you listening to me? Are y'all seeing the clarity? So faith must come. But I had faith in my heart, so I wasn't moved by what I was hearing out here or up in my head. The devil was trying to push me back into emotional faith or intellectual faith. Really, yeah, I really don't have the money. I really don't have the finances right now. Praise the Lord. But we got the house same year, 2007. To the glory of God. Amen. Somebody say glory to God. When the devil challenged Kenneth E. Hagin, when he had those alarming symptoms coming back up on his body, how did he respond? His action was faith from his heart. He looked to his heart. He didn't look to his physical heart beating out of control. He didn't look to his feelings of his body that were having alarming symptoms in his body. He didn't side with that. He looked to his heart, and all he said that was coming up in his heart was laughter. So he laughed for 45 minutes. He just acted on what he had in his heart to do. And the devil would always ask him, what are you laughing at? He said, I'm laughing at you. He said, I didn't feel like laughing. I was in a lot of pain. I didn't really desire to laugh, but it was in my heart to do. Why? Because faith works. Faith acts. His act of faith was to laugh, to resist the devil trying to bring all that stuff back on him and back into his body, because the doctor had said, you remember when it's going to come back and you're going to, you know, there's no cure for it and you're going to die. And so the devil was there amplifying the doctor's words in his ears. It's coming back. It's coming back on you strong. And this time you're not going to get your healing. This time you're not going to get your healing. But actions must spring from faith in your heart. So you always have to check what's in your heart to believe, what's in your heart to do. What's the next step for you to do? It has to be corresponding actions of obedience, of works. Amen. Remember, a workless faith is a worthless faith. Then third point as we close. Healing must be received to be enjoyed and experienced. Remember, all physical healing is first spiritual. Because healing is a grace. Prosperity is a grace. So prosperity is spiritual first. Then it manifests to financial next. So some people put their receiving on, when the money comes in, then I'm going to believe it and receive it. No, you're never going to get it. Amen. You got to receive it in your heart and believe it in your heart before you receive it in your bank account or in your hand. Hallelujah. Is this simple and clear enough? What does Mark 11:22-24 say? Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, what do you add to it? Believe that you receive it, and then you will have it. And you shall have it. Believe that you receive it. In other words, believe that you got it before you get it. Then you'll get it. So if you're talking about healing, you receive healing in your spirit. Believe it, then you receive it in your spirit, and then the manifestation will flow and flourish in your physical body. Some people say, well, I'm not going to believe it until I feel better, until I see the symptoms subside. No, you got to. When you have these symptoms in you, you got to receive divine healing. All divine healing is spiritual first, and then it will manifest in the natural. Praise God. Isn't that good? Stand to your feet. Praise God. Let's praise God for the word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for helping us work our faith. Thank you, Lord, for helping us get our faith focused on the things.